Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Lifted me. Well, I'm so glad.
Oh, yes.
Jesus lifted me.
How many glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Let's sing and worship the Lord.
I'm so
hallelujah. Thank God. Let's sing it from the depths of our heart. Glory.
Jesus lifted me. When I was a sinner, Jesus lifted me. When I was a sinner, Jesus lifted me. When I was a sinner, Jesus lifted me.
Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me.
Well, I'm so glad
Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Well, I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. We're going to start service this morning with prayer and sing a little bit of When I Needed Healing, Jesus Lifted Me. And again, Sister Marcia asked that we remember her in prayer and just try to bear down on it this morning for her. She just needs the help of the Lord. And maybe you've got an urgent quest. You just lift your hand this morning on this side. How about in the middle? Amen. The Lord knows what we have need of before we even ask, doesn't he? My right side this morning. Amen. Why don't we just go to the Lord in prayer and let's ask the Lord to help us today. But let's remember Sister Marcia as well. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we just ask right now, Lord, that you would send healing, send virtue. Lord, we know you're not limited by distance. Lord, we know your power is the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. We ask you, Lord, in the name above every name, lay your hand upon her. Oh, Spirit of the living God, would you touch her, Lord? Move according to your word and according to your grace. By the power of God, by the power of the Lord, the ever-present Christ, the risen Redeemer. God, we ask you, Lord, as we assemble in the house of the Lord today, God, that you would just be with us as we magnify and glorify your name. Help every heart, every life, encourage, save somebody's soul today, heal somebody's body in the name above every name. In the name of Jesus, we just give you praise and glory. We thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God that's alive in our heart right now. We just come into your house to praise your name, give you honor and give you glory. Amen. Let's sing it. When I needed healing, Jesus lifted me.
When I needed healing, Jesus lifted me.
Let's sing it to the Lord today.
When I needed healing,
hallelujah.
Jesus lifted me. When I needed healing, Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Well, I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me.
Well, I'm so glad. Praise the Lord. Turn around, shake a neighbor's hand if you would. Step across the aisle. Amen. Brother Josh Decker, come on this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Amen. How many going to worship the Lord today in the house of God? Hallelujah. Brother Josh coming to lead us in a song. Let's worship the Lord. Let's make a joyful noise to the Lord. Let's magnify the Lord, give him praise and glory and honor. Amen. Let's lift up the name of the Lord.
He set me free.
235. 235. Well, once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, he set me free. And he set me free, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. Well, I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. Glory to God, he set me free. Oh, and he set me free, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. Well, I'm glory bound my Jesus to see. For glory to God, he set me free. And now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night have drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground. And glory to God, I'm homeward bound. Well, he set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. Well, I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, he set me free. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. Not of this world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying too. And glory to God, I'm going through. Well, he set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. Well, I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, he set me free. And he set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. Well, I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, he set me free. And once like a bird in prison I dwell. No freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me. And glory to God, he set me free. Well, he set me free. He set me free. The bonds of prison for me. Well, I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Oh, glory to God, he set me free. And it's goodbye to sin and things that confound. Not of this world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying too. And glory to God, I'm going through. Well, he set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. Well, I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, he set me free. Oh, and he set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. Well, I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, he set me free.
Yeah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Amen. God bless you. You're seated in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Sister Beth, Sister Rachel, come on, get ready to sing for us. Amen. Deacons, help me if you would, as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Amen. Brother John, come help this morning if you would. Amen. Appreciate you being in the house of the Lord today. Appreciate God's mercy. God's mercy to us. Amen. Let's give us unto the Lord today. God bless you for your faithfulness to the house of the Lord, the work of the Lord. Amen. Brother Johnny Sykes, lead us to the Lord in prayer if you would, please. Amen. God bless you as you give this morning. Good to have Brother and Sister Joey Dean and their sons with us. And man, had a wonderful time in the house of the Lord Wednesday night and talking about taking the Spirit of the Lord home with us. Amen. I'm grateful for that. Amen. What a wonderful time, message Wednesday night. And tonight, the Lord willing, Brother Dean will be preaching. Look forward to service tonight and just expecting what God has in store for us. Amen. Not to allow anything to hinder me or distract me, but to receive everything God's got for me. So that'll be tonight. Look forward to that. Good to see Josh and Tiffany with us in the house of the Lord. Other guests as well visiting with us today. So let's let them know we're glad to have them in God's house. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Good to see Brother Kennedy able to be in God's house today. And Brother Gene Davis, good to see him. Brother Gene, testify. I know Sister Cassie's been sick. Good to see you in God's house. Praise the Lord. Good to see Sister Geraldine Mitchell in God's house today. Been a long time since she was able to be here. Amen. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. Good to see her and her family with us in the house of the Lord. Amen. Remember the college students there in Oklahoma started service last night at Burnett Mission. And I believe the report to me was that the young man that a couple of weeks ago was killed in that tragic accident, that was his home church. But last night his sister got saved at the end of the service. So we thank the Lord for that and good report from that service. And I know their brother Bill Parks this morning and preaching and singing. So be in prayer with them. They'll be in service tonight all through Thursday night, every night at a different church. The Lord blessing them to preach and sing. So as they come to your mind, just ask the Lord to anoint them in a special way and just pray the Lord would use them to win souls and lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. But that's Oklahoma and this is Georgia. Amen. And so I'm glad I'm here today in the presence of the Lord as well, aren't you? Amen. I come to lift him up. Amen. I come to magnify the Lord, come to receive from the Lord today. Amen. How many got a praise in your heart? Amen. Got a thanksgiving in your spirit for the Lord? Amen. Why don't you just stand right now? And if you've got a praise or a thanksgiving, why don't you just give it to the Lord right now? Amen. Let's just make an atmosphere of praise, an atmosphere of worship that the Lord's been good to us. Amen. That great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Thank God.
I could tell of the story, how the thousands were fed, how he lifted the sick and he raised the dead. I could tell of the others, like the blind man to see, but I'd rather tell you what's happened to me. Saved to the uttermost, I know that I am washed in the blood of the precious Lamb. To the Father, to the Son, through the Holy Ghost, I'm saved to the uttermost. I'm saved to the uttermost. I know that I am washed in the blood of the precious Lamb. Through the Father, through the Son, through the Holy Ghost, I'm saved to the uttermost.
You must be forgiven to make heaven your home. The good life you're living won't do it alone. So trust in the Savior and he'll save you today. And with blessed assurance, you too can say,
I'm saved to the uttermost. I know that I am washed in the blood of the precious Lamb. Through the Father, through the Son, through the Holy Ghost, I'm saved to the uttermost.
Help us sing it.
Oh, I'm saved to the uttermost, and I know that I am washed in the blood of the precious Lamb. The Father, through the Son, through the Holy Ghost, I'm saved to the uttermost.
You must be forgiven to make heaven your home. The good life you're living won't do it alone. So trust in the Savior. He'll save you today, and with blessed assurance,
you too can say, I'm saved to the uttermost. I know that I am washed in the blood of the precious.
Joey Dean testify for us. Amen. Somebody else. Bless Brother Kennedy this morning, Lord. Lay your hand on him. Somebody lift your hand toward heaven. Ask the Lord to bless Brother Kennedy right now. Amen. Why don't y'all come back and sing a little bit more and let's worship the Lord. Amen. Ask the Lord just to touch his body right now and strengthen him and help him. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Pour your spirit out on him, Lord. Touch him by your power. Touch him by your spirit. Hallelujah. Bless him, God. Bless him, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God.
I know that I am.
We love you, Lord. Bless him, God.
Washed in the blood of the precious Lamb. Through the Father, through the Son, through the Holy Ghost, I'm saved to the uttermost.
I can tell of the story how the thousands were fed, how he healed the sick and he raised the dead. I can tell of the others like the blind man.
Saved to the uttermost, I know that I am. Washed in the blood of the precious Lamb. Through the Father, through the Son, through the Holy Ghost, I'm saved to the uttermost. I'm saved to the uttermost, I know. Of the precious Lamb, through the Father, through the Son, through the Holy Ghost, I'm saved to the uttermost.
Oh,
I'm saved to the uttermost. I know that I am washed in the blood of the precious Lamb, through the Father.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't ever want to lose the Spirit of God out of my life. How about you? I always want to keep the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Moving in my heart and my life. Amen. Remember David praying in Psalms 51. Even after all of that mistake in his life, David so passionately prays, "Take not thy Holy Spirit, take not thy Holy Presence from me." Amen. David asked not for the palace to be restored. David asked not for the all of the silver and gold. But the one thing David was troubled by was thinking that the presence of the Lord would not be in his life. Amen. I'm glad I feel the presence of the Lord this morning. Amen. I'm glad I know the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. John said we ought to try the spirits, know whether they be of God. I'm glad I know the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Something I've had on my mind and my heart for a while I'd like to share this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, starting in verse number 14 and reading down to the end of the chapter. If you have it, say amen. If we need to wait, we'll hold on. I don't want you to miss this today. Amen. The Bible says, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them. My friends, that is to me one of the most awesome promises that you could ever imagine, that God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Amen. God bless you as you're seated today in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk to you this morning about rationalizing unrighteousness. Rationalizing. Some people may say that it would be like making excuses to rationalize something. Or how did you come to that justification? How did you come to that line of reasoning? How did you rationalize that? Webster's defines to rationalize as to invent plausible explanations for acts and opinions that are actually based on other causes. To rationalize something, to invent a plausible explanation. My dog ate my homework. To invent a plausible explanation. My alarm didn't go off. To invent a plausible explanation for acts or opinions that are actually based on other causes. I want to talk to you about seven rationalizations I hear people making on why righteousness should not be found in their life, or seven rationalizations they make to allow unrighteousness into their life. But I know the Bible is clear and the Bible is emphatic that God wants a righteous people. Amen. God wants a holy people. How many know that He is a holy God who dwells in a holy heaven, who gave us a holy book to be a holy people and filled us with His Holy Spirit that we could go to that holy heaven. Amen. God is a holy God. Amen. And I'm glad for the Holiness Church. I'm glad to be part of the Holiness people. Amen. It's a joy. And we study it in one of our classes. And I use these two words, that the ethics and experience of holiness, on purpose. Because a lot of people study the ethics or the doctrine of it, but never experience it. It's not enough just to study the doctrine. It's not enough just to start going to church. It's not enough to have it in your mind academically and theoretically. You've got to have it in your heart. You've got to be born of the Spirit of God. Amen. And so the word of the Lord says, without holiness, what does the Bible say? No man shall see the Lord. But seven rationalizations people are making in this 21st century in the American church world to allow unrighteousness in their life. But before I get to that, let me just kind of give you some steps I've thought about this week in backsliding. I've preached in several locations this year, and it's I guess because I've went back to those locations, you have a chance to see where people are living and how they used to worship God, and maybe they're not worshiping God, or maybe they were just new believers when I first went there, and now they're in leadership. And so you see people moving in different directions in their walk with God and in their spirituality. And I thought, when somebody backslides, it inevitably, as I've thought about people that I've pastored, that I've watched backslide and tried to do everything I could to stop that, and then even in other locations watching people backslide, the first step is there's a cooling off. There's a cooling off. The fire of God is not moving in their life. They don't have any praise for God. There is that cooling off period to where they're not excited about the Word of God. They're not excited about the Spirit of God. You don't see them worshiping God. They're there, but they're really not there. You ever been there? They're in the house of the Lord, but they're not there. They're cooling off. Then they begin to withdraw. They withdraw themselves from what's going on around the altar. They withdraw themselves from maybe a position they had or the choir. They begin to withdraw themselves. So there's a cooling off, and then there's a withdrawing. And then when they withdraw themselves, then there's an isolating. Then they begin to kind of build walls and begin to isolate themselves. And that's the point where they start feeling like nobody cares about them. But it's because they've built those walls when they withdrew and isolated themselves and withdrew from the church and withdrew from the blessings of the church. And so then they feel isolated, and then the devil jumps in there and says, see, they won't even miss you if you're gone. Nobody even cares about you. But that's because you've withdrawn yourself, and you won't let anybody touch you, or you won't let anybody touch your children, or you won't let anybody connect with you. And there's that distance that you've created intentionally. But the problem is the devil flips that around and makes you feel as if nobody cares. But I wish you could be in those prayer meetings where we pray over backsliders, or I wish you could be in my office those times when bad news comes or something happens. And not to put roses on me, but the emotional turmoil that I have, knowing that I've lost somebody out of my care that is now backslid, and if something doesn't change, they're going to die lost and go to hell. Friend, that's a heavy, heavy weight to bear. But they withdraw themselves and isolate themselves. And then at that point, I've never seen somebody that backslid that didn't get critical. And so it is that criticizing at that point. And so there's a cooling, there's a withdrawing, there's an isolating, and then there's a criticizing. And when they begin to criticize, what they're getting ready to do is to justify what they're getting ready to do. Because they're tearing everybody else down, they're criticizing because they're getting ready to justify what they've already made up in their mind they're going to do. And I don't know if I'm preaching anybody like that today, but I tell you, the last step is backsliding. And I pray to God there's nobody in this building today that would ever backslide on God. And I'll tell you how to keep from backsliding on God. Don't ever cool off. Don't ever lose the presence of God or lose the Spirit of God. Every time you come to the house of the Lord, praise Him and worship Him until you know the Spirit of God bears witness in your heart that you're a child of God and a son of God. If you'll do that right there, you won't backslide. I said you will not backslide. But if you feel that cooling off, if you feel that withdrawing, if you feel that isolating going on in your life today, I said when we come to this altar, say, Lord, I want to do my first works over again, and I want the love of God to invade my heart. I want the love of God to invade my spirit and my soul. Help me, God, to be everything that I know to be. Amen. How many want to finish this race and hear the Lord say, well done? Let me give you the 7 rationalizations I hear people making about unrighteousness in their life. Number one, a lot of folks say, well, everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. Hey, preacher, everybody's living this way. Well, that's why I come to tell you, Matthew 7:13-14 says this: enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many be there that go in at, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Amen. I'm going to tell you, friend, this morning, it may seem like everybody's doing it. It may seem like everybody's going that direction. And it may seem like everybody's compromising it. Everybody's loosening up a little bit. But the book already told me that regardless of the generation and regardless of the dispensation, there's always going to be a few. I said there's always going to be a few. It may not be many. The book already said there's not going to be many, but there might be a few. I want to be part of that. I said, I want to be part of that faithful few, that faithful remnant that holds on to the work of the Lord and the Word of God in this last hour. Matter of fact, I guarantee you, most of you young folks have told your parents, Everybody's doing it. Everybody's getting that phone. Everybody's dressing this way. Everybody's going. Everybody. Well, I come along, I'm glad. How many had a parent kind of like my dad that said, well, I'm not everybody else's parent. I can't parent the whole neighborhood. I can't parent the whole school. I'm your parent. I'm your dad. I'm your mom. And this is the way we're going to do it at our house. I'm glad I didn't have a dad that just rolled over and said, you're right, son. It's 1980 or it's 1985, because y'all think you're the first ones that ever got tempted or had to struggle with holiness. But can I tell you, friend, amen, the devil always comes along. But anybody glad for your mom and dad? It's not easy to be a parent. It's not easy. I said, it's not easy to raise children in this wicked world. But how many up for the fight? I said, how many parents are up for the fight? Because not everybody's doing it. Not everybody's going worldly. Not everybody's charismatic. Not everybody's backsliding. There are some young folks that want to live for God. There are some young folks that are sold out. I said, there are some young folks that are on fire for God. And as far as on planet Earth, it might be relatively few. But here's what I know. It's the book that says that we're going to the way of life everlasting. Hallelujah. Amen. If the trumpet sounds right now, you're not going to be sorry. You're on that narrow road of holiness. You're not going to be sorry. You're on that narrow road of righteousness. Amen. Somebody shout amen. You want to be one of those faithful few that find life everlasting. Amen. Let me give you the second rationalization. There are some that say, well, you know, preacher, there's nothing we can do about it. You know, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, and we just can't do anything. We're like a toothpick in the Ohio River. What can we do? Well, Isaiah 62:6, I'm glad you asked. Isaiah 62:6 says, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall not hold their peace night or day. Amen. Who make mention of the Lord, do not be silent. Amen. We may not be many, but I think it's time we make some noise. Amen. We may not be the biggest group, but I think some of the minorities have already showed us you don't have to be the biggest group to make the most noise. Amen. I think God put us on the watchman on the wall, and God put me and you on the wall, and we ought to make some noise about it. Amen. We ought to declare, thus say the word. We all declare there's a higher way called holiness. There's a better way to live. And when they try to rewrite the history of our nation, and they try to rewrite a lot of things, friend, amen, you and I ought to use our voice. We ought to use our energy. We ought to use our intellect. We ought to use the leverage that we have, not to be run over, amen, but to lift up our voice and say, thus saith the word of the Lord. Amen. There are some that say, holiness is harshness, and holiness is hardness, and holiness is homeliness. Friend, it's not any of those things. But here's what I do know. Holiness is right. I said holiness is right, that God is holy, and God will not accept anything that is not holy. Amen. Come some shout amen with me this morning. The book says that God is holy. God has always been holy, and God always will be holy, and God is immutable, and God cannot change. Therefore, what God was is what God is. And when we wake up tomorrow, the Lord tarrying is coming, God will still be a holy God, and we're still to be a holy people. And so we may not be able to change a broad stream, but can you change the culture in your family? Can you change the culture in your job? Amen. Have you tried to change the culture in your classroom? Have you tried to change the culture in the world in which you live? Instead of jumping on social media and going the bandwagon down the stream and criticizing everything, amen, why don't you be the one, instead of cursing the darkness, you try to strike a light in a dark night and say there's a better way to live, that this is America. It's the greatest nation that has ever existed in the history of the known world, and we're Christians in the greatest nation with all the liberty and all the freedom that we have. Amen. We ought to use that liberty to lift up our voice. We ought to use that liberty to make a difference. We ought to use that liberty instead of ignoring, we ought to speak out and speak up for the Lord.
Amen. The third rationalization is this, preacher, there's absolutely nothing we can do about it. The culture's just too great. It's too far gone. Almost as if young people can't live holiness in this hour. 2 Corinthians 10:3 and 5 says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself. It doesn't sound like Paul was writing about a dead church or a weak church. It doesn't sound like Paul was writing about a church that was throwing in the towel to quit. Paul was writing to a church that was triumphant, that was overcoming through the blood of the Lamb. Amen. The way the early church overcame, amen, the opposition of those that were in rule was through the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost. The blood of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Some of you don't have the power to blow the fuzz off a peach, as Joey used to say. But the way we get power, the way we overcome, is through the blood of Jesus Christ. That'll never lose its power. I said it's powerful blood. It's spotless blood, but not just the power of the blood of the Son of God, but through the infilling of the Holy Ghost. My God, we're the church. I said we're not forsaken, destitute, all alone. Amen. But we are the church of the living God, blood washed, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled. And I love the way John said it, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. Young folk, you ought to be an overcomer. The culture should not steal your testimony. You ought to be a light in a dark world. My God, fill you with the power of the Holy Ghost. God set such a light and a power and a passion in your heart that you march into the mall, that you march into the classroom, and instead of dropping your head, folks say, there's something different about them. There's something different about their church. There's something different about their youth group. Yes, you're right. Amen. Exactly right. We're changed. We're transformed by the blood of the Lamb and the power of the Holy Ghost. You shout amen if you believe we ought to be an overcomer today. Amen. Shout amen if you believe we're the church of the living God and victory should be our shout. Hallelujah. Well, preacher, times have changed. Times have changed, preacher. You need to kind of broaden your perspective a little bit. The book says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Somebody say, you better broaden your perspective. I preached a funeral last year, and in that service was the assistant pastor to a very well-known megachurch pastor who actually serves on President Trump's spiritual advisory council. So I'm not talking about some schmo out somewhere that nobody's ever heard of. But we're out on that church portico talking. And his pastor had just remarried. And that pastor has a living spouse. Not only that, the pastor married an unbeliever that's well known in the rock and roll world. And I said, how do you deal with that? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, how do you deal with that? What about the Bible? The Bible says that we're to not be unequally yoked. And the Bible already said the bishops should be of one wife. Well, preacher, you need to get a broader perspective. You need to, you know. Now, I'll tell you how broad my perspective is. If you leave the book, you're in trouble. I said, if you leave the book, you're in trouble. It doesn't matter what the Southern Baptist says. It doesn't matter what the Church of God says. Amen. It doesn't even matter what I say. It doesn't matter what you say. It matters what the word of the Lord says. And the word didn't give us, well, you know, this is for the second century Elia. This is for the third century Alex. This is for the fifth century young man. And Brother Nelson, this is for the eighth century. So we're going to change it. We're going to codify it. But we're going to try to massage it and manipulate it. Amen. God put it in the word. And the word is established. And the word is forever settled. And so the word worked in the third century. And the word worked in the 11th century. And the word worked in the 15th century. And the word worked in the 18th century. Can I tell you this morning that most of us come out of the loins of the Methodist revival. And it worked for the Methodists. It worked for the Nazarenes. It worked for the Pentecostals. And it's still working for me and you. I don't have a watered down experience. I don't have some kind of complacent 21st century experience. I've got the same thing they received in the New Testament. I've got the same blood that was spilled on Calvary. I've got the same Holy Ghost that fell in an upper room. I don't have some kind of watered down experience. But brother, I've got the true thing, the living thing, the breathing power of an almighty God. Hallelujah. Woo! Oh, my God, my God, my God. I remember when I was doing my dissertation interviews, one pastor said it this way. He said, the only thing that separates us from the New Testament church is time. He said, we've got the same experience. Oh, I wish you could get that in your soul right now. I wish you could wake up and realize that it's not some 21st Holy Ghost, century Holy Ghost we've got, some kind of watered down trinket, but the same power. I said the same fire. Oh, hallelujah, that fell in that little upper room would like to show up in a half-filled sanctuary on a Sunday morning in Savannah, Georgia. But I'm believing, my God, where two or three are gathered together in his name, he pledged to be in the midst. But you've already started that cooling off period. Hallelujah. How many glad that you've got that experience that is similar to the New Testament experience? Hey, God's word doesn't change. How narrow, how broad. I tell you, friend, that ought to be your worldview right there. Well, you just can't grow a church like that. Okay, then we won't grow a church. But I'm not going to backslide. I'm not going to hell compromising with the whole modern church world. Oh, no wonder L.L. Collins used to sing, if I got to pray all by myself. Because some of your minds are going right where that assistant pastor said, you just, it's a different day, preacher. We'd lose 2/3 of our church if we, who cares? Who cares? Who cares the congregation leaves if you're still right with God, if you're upholding the word of the Lord? Amen. Some of you young men, some of you young ladies, amen, get off grandpa's experience and mom and dad's experience. Get it for yourself that this is the black back book, that it's God's word. It's infallible. And it's not what dad says. It's not what the teacher says. It's not what the principal says. It's not even what the doctor in the pulpit says. It's what the Holy Ghost wrote. Amen. In the word of God. And when we stand before God, it'll be, it won't be your opinions or mine. Well, preacher, God only looks at the heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. The God of peace sanctify you completely. In your spirit, your God consciousness, your soul, which is your self consciousness, and your body, which is your world consciousness. If it would have only been holiness on the inside, the book would have said sanctify you in spirit and soul, but not body. But our interactions with our fellow man is our body consciousness. The way you dress does make a difference. I thought I'd get more amens than that. The way you dress and live, it does make a difference. We are that city that is set on a hill. If it doesn't make a difference, why do they ask my wife, where do you go to church? They don't ask her if she's a Christian. Where do you go to church? It's a telltale sign of a transformed life. The Bible said in 1 Timothy 2 and 9, like manner, that the women adorn themselves outward adornment themselves in modest apparel. Woo! I don't have time to break down modesty, but anybody think we need some more modesty in the world in which we live? Not your generation only. It was your grandpa's generation and your great-great-grandpa's generation and all the way back. But preacher, God only looks at the heart. 1 Corinthians 11 tells us the way women wear their hair, long and uncut, is different from the way that men wear their hair, which is short and cut and trimmed. It's God putting in His Word, what? A distinction of the sexes, a distinction of male and female, a distinction. Amen. That's why marriage, it's not just a law, but it was written by God Himself, that God created male and female, and God joined them together. It's more than just the law that says you can remarry. It's more than just a law that says that sexual marriage could be two men. My God, it's rebellion against the design of God. Amen. It's not because me and you don't like it. It's because God said that He created male and God created female. And it would be them that God put together, and anything else, two males, three males, an animal, it's wrong. And in the sight of God, it is unjustified. I don't care how you spin it. I don't care what phobia you put on it. I don't care what dysphoria you call it. It is unrighteous and sinful in the sight of God. But oh, thank God, there is a fountain filled with blood that is drawn from Emmanuel's veins, that sinners plunge beneath the flood and lose all their guilt and stain. I said, there's a name above every name. That name, Jesus. God only looks on the out or on the heart. No, my friend. God wants you sanctified. And the New Testament analogy of sanctification is this. It is a cutting away. It's a cutting away. You don't deal with it anymore. It's gone. God has removed that out of your life. So away with this up and down, in and out. I had a bad day. God cut it away. God removed it. He leaves you changed. Some would say holiness is bondage. The way I preach today is bondage, and we want to be free. That's the sixth. Justification. But the Bible said, Matthew 24 and 12, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. John 8 and 36 says, if the Son therefore make you free, you shall be free indeed. I will grant you that compromising is easy on the flesh. I will grant you that compromising will make your flesh love you. But I will also grant you that compromising will make your flesh rule you. What about taking up your cross? Denying yourself and the lust and the affections thereof. What about dying out to the old man and living a new life in Jesus Christ? What about that sanctification? Amen. Oh, my God. Is that still what we believe? I said, let me walk down some theology right now. Do we still believe in salvation through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ plus nothing? I said, plus nothing. Not water baptism. Not through speaking in tongues. It's the blood of Jesus Christ.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the shed blood of Jesus. But friend, there is a second, a progressive step. There is a succinct but yet definite work of sanctification in our lives, to where God works in us and pulls out a love for the world. A love for God is implanted there. And John said this way, that he that loves the world does not love the Father, but he that loves the Father does not love the world. And any man that loves the world is denying the love that he has for the Father. I'm glad this morning for the love that I have in Jesus Christ. I've got a love for the Word of God and a love for the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me give you the seventh one, and I hear this a lot. It's not my conviction. It's not my conviction. It don't have to be your conviction if it's a Bible standard. Well, I don't feel bad. Well, if God already put it in His Word, I'm sorry, honey, you don't have to feel bad. Well, I'm not in leadership. I don't. If God put it in His Word, there's the standard. There's the standard. Cooling. Withdrawing. Isolating, criticizing. Justifying, backsliding. It's a process that I see a lot. But I come today to see if there's anybody that is interested in the Spirit of God, in the power of the Holy Ghost. Is there anybody right now you'd be so brave in your spirit to admit, you know what? I've lost some of the presence of God. I don't testify like I used to. I don't witness on the job like I used to. I don't come around the altar like I used to. I don't feel the power of God like I used to. But preacher, when we come today, I'm going to pray through till I feel the presence of God. I'm going to pray through till I feel the Spirit of the Lord. Would you stand with me right now, church? Let's let God in heaven know, as we lift our hands toward Him, that we are a congregation that is serious about serving God. We're a congregation that is serious about the things of God. Oh, my God, right now. Oh, Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of the Lord, we worship You. My God, we magnify Your name. Hallelujah, let's love Him. Oh, come on, church, let's magnify. I say, let's glorify Him. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of the Lord. Meet us around this altar right now, right now. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Church, would you begin to come? If you're visiting with us, join us at this altar. But oh, Lord, right now. Lord, I want You to search me. I want You to open, oh, the Spirit of God in my life. Oh, open the windows of heaven right now. Pour out Your power. My God, pour out Your Spirit. Pour out Your grace in the name of the Lord. Oh, come on, let's worship Him. Come on, let's magnify the Lord. Oh, Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I want Your power. Lord, I want Your Spirit. Oh, God, I need Your grace, Lord. Go.
I'll claim His promise. He will supply.
Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Go.